Good morning, Saints. Good to be with you all this morning. I just want to wish all the moms out there a happy Mother's Day. Rose did ask for you ladies to check your emails because she sent something out to you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. I'm going to pray out of James chapter 1, starting here in verse 21. Lord, I pray that you'll help us this morning to lay aside all filthiness, all overflow of wickedness. In other words, help us to lay aside ourselves, our own thinking, our own natural reasoning mind. And Lord, help us to receive with meekness. Help us to come humbly to your implanted word this morning, God, which is able to save our souls, Lord. And help us to be doers of your word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. So bless our time in your word. Help me, Lord, to convey your heart this morning. You're calling us all unto yourself this morning, Lord. So speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I do want to invite you today to follow me to the cross. That's the name of the message I want to share with you this morning. Follow me to the cross. And I want to start off by reading an old hymn that's called Let Me Lose Myself and Find It, Lord, in Thee. Verse 1. Many years I searched for rest, perfect peace within my breast. I often sought the Lord alone in tears, but I would not pay the price, would not make the sacrifice. So I wandered on for many, many years. And just the other day, Rose and I were talking because we watched a video of Billy Graham's grandson online, and he gave an invitation at the end of his talk. And then he said, if you've prayed this prayer, just call the number on the screen and there'll be someone there to talk to. And Rose said to me, man, I can't tell you how many times in my past when Billy Graham was on TV, I would do that. I would listen to him. There'd be an ache in my heart, a cry that I knew I needed what I was hearing. And I'd be crying before the TV. But when they said, call in until you can talk to someone, that's where she always stopped. She never took that next step. And it said, there's many that wander on for many years, not experiencing the true power of the gospel because they don't take that next step, which is to learn of him, to lose our lives, to surrender our lives, to learn what it means to give my heart and my life to Jesus and to follow him. And that's really what this song is talking about, this hymn. The chorus says, let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. May all self be slain, my friends see only thee. Though it cost me grief and pain, I will find my life again. If I lose my life, I'll find it, Lord, in thee. It goes on, then one day, while I knelt in prayer, Jesus whispered to me there. And anyone who desires to follow Jesus, if you're humbly coming before him, your head's bowed before him, maybe you're saying, Lord, I want to follow you, he's going to whisper these words in your ear. Take the cross and follow me to Calvary. But oh, how sad it was to die and all self to crucify, just to lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. It's hard. It seems hard. Jesus actually said the narrow way, it's difficult. Not many go into it. Many go the broad way, the easier way. But the narrow way, it is difficult. Jesus even said, if you desire to follow me, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. And that's the call this morning. But when we do that, people, this becomes our testimony. Verse 3, now the blood has been applied. Through his power, I'm sanctified. And the Savior now gives me constant victory. Yes, he took away my sin. He washed, he made me pure within. Oh, I lost myself, but I found it in thee, Lord. And in the end, when we stand before him at the end of our journey, this would be our prayer. Lord, I could not stand alone when I bow before thy throne. Let me bring, dear Lord, at least one soul to thee. Here I give myself away. Take me, use me, Lord, I pray, lest I lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. And that's my prayer this morning as his people, as his church, as his body, that we would follow him to the cross so that we can truly walk in that newness of life and we can bring others to that place of hope and glory. So Lord, help us this morning to lose ourselves. Help us to lose our lives, Lord, so that we can find it in you. I want to read out of John 8, verse 28, where Jesus, talking to the religious leaders, said these words. He said, when you lift up the Son of Man, he was talking about his crucifixion. He was basically saying, when you crucify me, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Jesus did all things that pleased his Father. He learned obedience, Hebrews tells us, by the things he suffered. It says in Hebrews also about him that he came to do the will of God. His body was prepared for that purpose. In Isaiah 53, verse 10, we see one aspect of Jesus pleasing the Father, because it says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief when you make his soul an offering for sin. Again, we see a picture of the cross here. Jesus going to the cross for you and I. It pleased the Father to bruise him for our sins. The Father and Jesus were one. The Father was always with him, except for that one moment on the cross when our sins were poured upon him, were laid upon his shoulders, and he experienced that separation that our sin causes between us and the Father. But the Father was always with him, there to support him, to uphold him, to carry out his will. Jesus daily walked in the presence of the Father. They had their abode together, in basically like someone living together in a house. They enjoyed one another's company constantly. Jesus said this in John 14, 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him. And those who really desire God's presence to be with them in all conditions, especially in times of suffering and trouble, we have to make it our care to study what pleases him, to observe his will in all things. Then God will be with us. That's the promise. Then he'll guide us in his strengthening presence, in his comforting, in his quickening, because it's in our surrender to him. It's in our yielding up, losing our lives to him, that we enjoy that fellowship of his sufferings. And that's really where we come to know him in a deeper level. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. And then down in Galatians 5, 24, he says, and those who are Christ, in other words, all of us who claim to be his, all of us have crucified the flesh with its passions, with its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Simply said, if I could say it this way, as we daily crucify the flesh and we walk in the Spirit and we're seeking to do those things that please him, he's with us. He's with me. He hasn't left me alone. He's made his abode within me and within you. What a comforting thought when we're in his will, when we're doing those things that are pleasing him. He goes on here in John 8, verse 30, he says to those that believed in him, he said to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. In other words, if you continue in my word, it's not enough to just receive God's truth. We have to learn to retain it and to actually walk it out in our lives. That's what that means, continue in it. If you do that, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You'll know the truth. God's going to write his truth on the tablet of your heart and in your minds. That's the promise of the new covenant. You will know God. No one's going to have to teach you about God. He will reveal truth in your inner man. You'll also be free from the consequences of your sins, but also the dominion of your sin. In other words, its power over you. Romans 6:14 says, sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but under grace. You're under the new covenant of grace. Romans 6:5, a little back further, says, if we've been united in the likeness of his death, in other words, if we are daily going and reckoning ourselves dead, we are daily crucifying the flesh. We have, like when we got baptized in water, declared that it's no longer I that I'm living. I am losing my life so I can find it in him. Certainly, we also will be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Him who the Son sets free is free indeed. So if you know this truth, if you're learning this truth, I want to speak to you as Paul spoke to the church. I want to speak to us as his body this morning. And this is out of Ephesians 4:17, right after he's talking about the body and the unity of the body. He says, I testify in the Lord that you, us, his visible church, should no longer walk like the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling has given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. You, we, his visible church, we have not so learned Christ. If indeed we've heard him, if indeed we've been taught by him as the truth is in him, that you put off your former conduct. In other words, you take your flesh, you take your own natural reasoning mind, you take your self-life and you crucify it. You bring it to the cross. You put off concerning your former conduct, that old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is a daily, again, going to the cross with my old man and his ways. And then he gets kind of practical here. He says, therefore, put away lying. Let each of you speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And I want to say to all of us, let's not be liars. Let's not be liars. Let's not say we're a part of his body and then not act like it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 says this, he who says, I know him, and doesn't keep his commandments, he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to himself also walk just as he walked. John 14:23, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, in other words, if you're not lying when you say you love Jesus, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him. We will make our home with him. And then in Matthew 7:27, we see 21, we see the danger of profession without living out what we say we profess to believe. Jesus says there, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. In other words, you still did your own thing. You really weren't looking to do those things that pleased me. You weren't learning of me so that you could become like me. You did your own thing. You were still very self-willed. You practiced lawlessness. He goes on, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. There was substance underneath the house, and that rock was Christ. They were in Christ. The one who is walking and abiding in Christ is founded on Christ. And that house, it's not going to be blown over when the trials, when temptations, when that sun comes up and the heat comes into our lives, we're not going to wither up and die. We're going to stand in the time of trial. And people, we need to learn how to stand in the day so we can stand in the day that's coming. He goes on. He says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I can't help but think about when Jesus was talking about the last days. He said, many will fall away. The love of many will wax cold. Why? Well, they looked like the right kind of house, but there was no foundation there. There was no substance to back up what they were professing. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus ended these sayings. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not like the scribes or the religious leaders. He goes on and says, be angry and do not sin. Here's a picture of the flesh still rising up, still wanting to get its way, getting angry. But again, the command, even though your flesh rises up, even though you get angry, you don't like something, don't sin. Crucify your flesh. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Deal with it. Go to God. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Don't give place to the devil. I think we do that way too much. The devil is the author of pride. And pride divides. Pride brings nothing but dissension and problems. So deal with it. Don't give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor. Let him work with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Don't be selfish. Don't just be looking out to get for yourself. Become a giver. Give what's been given to you. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but is what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And the mouth, what comes out of the mouth is really indicative of what's going on in the heart. And when it says let no corrupt communication, that can cover a whole wide range of things, from gossip to slander to foul language. Don't let those things proceed. Crucify the flesh that wants to go in that direction. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't pain the heart of God. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, let it be put away for you. Crucify, go to the cross with it, all malice, and be kind to one another. Put it on the new man. Put off that old man. Put it on the new man. Be kind to one another. tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. In other words, come and follow me to the cross. Let all who name the name of Christ come and follow me to the cross. The Apostle Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. In other words, we're just jars of clay, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us. So when we empty ourselves, that dying, that crucifixion, that going to the cross is a laying down of our lives. It's emptying the vessel so that his life can be poured in, that the power may be of God and not us. We're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. We're always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. We're always bringing the body to Calvary, crucifying the flesh. Always bringing our fleshly thinking, our own ways, and we're laying them at the cross so that the life of Jesus can be manifested in our body. That's one of the groanings I continually have occurring in my heart, that I would just go away, that I would just disappear so that a greater one would be there in my life, so that people wouldn't see Jeff Cologne, but they would see Jesus. So that's a groaning that goes on constantly in my heart. Is that a groaning in your heart, that you would just go away, your own thoughts, those things that rise up, how we could be with people? Is there a groaning like, God, I just want to go away so a greater one can take my place, so that people will hear you and see you in my life? For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is working in us, but life in you. Jesus is calling us to die daily. Why? So his life could be manifested in us and through us. So how do I do that? How does that actually happen? It's really pretty simple. You learn what he says and you do it. Just start with the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, that whole Sermon on the Mount. Just start there until you can live out all those words that Jesus spoke, that he ended with the verse I read you earlier. Many will say to me, many will say to me, Lord, 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 Lord. And then there'll be two groups. One that did what he said, learned what he taught, and those that didn't. And there'll be two end results of that. So I want to encourage you this morning to follow Jesus. Learn what he has spoken to you if you truly want to follow him. Bring all your doubts. Bring all your worries. Bring all your fears. Bring all your questions to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is sufficient for all things. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's our counselor. It's all we need so that we can be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Jesus said this in Luke 6, verse 40. A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Again, that's one of those groanings in my heart. I want to be like you, Jesus. I just want to be like you. When I see you in Scripture, when I consider what you're like, I just want to be like you, Lord. I want your life to be expressed through this clay vessel. That really is his plan and purpose for us, that we would be conformed into his image. But our old fallen image needs to die. It needs to be crucified daily. We need to follow him to the cross. So again, to do that, I'll read those words to you again from James chapter 1, verse 21. We have to lay aside all filthiness, all overflow of wickedness. That would be the old man. That would be the natural reasoning mind. We have to lay that aside. We have to receive with meekness. We have to learn to come humbly to the Word of God, the implanted Word, which is able to save ourselves. But we got to be doers. We can't just keep hearing and hearing and hearing. That abiding is that continuing in. That's what it means to pick up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow Him. It's a daily denying ourselves and yielding ourselves to what He's spoken to us in His Word, and yielding ourselves and being led by the Holy Spirit. When we do that, that's really how God's going to be glorified. And I know it's hard sometimes. I'm not here this morning just acting like, oh yeah, you know, all day long I'm just thrilled to do everything Jesus told me to do. I wish I was. It's difficult at times. It's hard. We get hurt. Things happen. We just got a lot of issues from our past that maybe we're still dealing with. And it seems hard at times, but I want to encourage you this morning. When it seems hard, this is what we need to do. Hebrews 12, verse 3. Consider Him. Just get a hold of your mind, your thoughts. Get in Scripture, which will help you to consider and to understand better what He endured. Consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you get weary and discouraged. And I think we all get there at times, and God understands that. You haven't resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. So whatever scenario we can come up with, when we don't like where Jesus is leading us, it doesn't come close to what God has done for us through Jesus Christ personally. All my arguments, all my resistance to Him, everything that rises up against His will, all those things that I have to deny myself for in order to please Him, they just melt when I consider Him, when I think about what He did. He really is my example to follow. Verse 4 says, you haven't resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. In other words, you haven't resisted the way Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He was sweating drops of blood against sin. And when it says sin, it means in you. And if I could say it this way, that thing in us that wants to save ourselves, that was part of that battle Jesus was facing when He sweat drops of blood in the garden. It says He was in agony of mind and spirit. Everything was being thrown at Him and on Him in a devilish fury to deter Him from going to Calvary to save His own life. In Luke 22, 42, we get a glimpse into that. It says, there appeared to Him an angel from heaven strengthening Him in spirit. And Him being in agony of mind, He prayed all the more earnestly and intently. His sweat became like great clots of blood dropping to the ground. Again, have we resisted in that way against the sin in our own hearts, the desire to hold on to our lives, that rebel in us that doesn't want to do what Jesus asks us to do, those things that are pleasing to Him? Here's the encouragement that this should be to us. Because He went through that, because He didn't sin, because He finished the work He came to do, He's able to help us when we're in that place, when we're struggling to do His will, when we're trying to save our lives. He's there. He's able to aid us. Listen to what Hebrews 2 says in verse 17. It says, in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He's able to aid those that are tempted. So whatever God is asking you to do, whatever situation you find yourself in, no matter how angry you get, whatever it is, there's no temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, that has overtaken you, except that is common to man. We all deal with it. But God is faithful. God is faithful. He's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. He knows where the line is for you. He's not going to ask you to do something that he isn't able to help you to do. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, he will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And we see that. The Father strengthened Jesus so he could go to the cross for you and I. There's no way Jesus could have endured what he endured without the power of the Holy Spirit. But because he yielded, because he said, "Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will be done," we too have that same power available. We don't have to sin in our temptation. We can take that thought. We can take that vile thing that rises up in our hearts, and we can take it to the cross and crucify it. And we can stand up under that temptation. We do that by following him to the cross, by yielding to the cross, by abiding in his word. And it's in that place he will strengthen us. He said in Mark 14:36, in that place of pressing, when he was facing that temptation, he was facing the cup, Calvary. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." And those, when he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible. You can do all things, but Father, despite my weakness, I know you're willing and able to give me what I need to stand to accomplish your will." All things are possible. We need to get over the truth of Scripture in that way. We need to come against those rising doubts of the natural reasoning mind. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you." So after you've properly mourned, after I've properly mourned and repented of my rebel heart that doesn't want to be crucified, that doesn't want to do the words of Jesus, get up from that place. God doesn't want you to walk around just continually beating. Get up from that place and in faith, learn to ask. Simply ask, pray, "God, fill me with your Holy Spirit." Get over his word, pray in faith. Jesus said, "I say to you, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" How much more? Mark 11:24, he said, "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Luke 24:49, he promised, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." We need his power. It's in our surrender. It's in our yielding that we tap into that power. It's in the emptying of ourselves that he's able to fill us and give us the power to lay our lives down, to do those things that please him. So will you follow me this morning to the cross? That's the question. That's the invitation this morning to all of us. And I'm just going to close this morning with that prayer, with that hymn, and just pose some questions this morning. Are you still searching for rest, perfect peace within your breast? Do you often seek the Lord in tears, but maybe you're not willing to pay the price? You're still resisting him? you don't want to make the sacrifice, so you keep wandering on and on for many years. You're really not coming into what God has for you. Lose your life. Find it in the Lord. Let all yourself be slain. Come to Calvary so your friends can only see Jesus. It's going to cost you grief, some pain, but you'll find your life again. If you lose it, you'll find it in Him. Is your heart bowed in prayer this morning? Is Jesus whispering to you there? Take your cross and follow me to Calvary. Don't be sad to die, all self to crucify. Consider Him. Because if you lose your life, you'll find it in Him. And His blood will be applied to your sins. His power will sanctify you. And the Savior, He'll give you constant victory. You won't be a slave of sin anymore. You won't be a slave of your carnal passions anymore. He'll give you constant victory. Yes, He will take away your sin. He will wash you and cleanse you within. Because you lost your life, but you found it in Him. And in the end, don't stand alone when you stand before His throne. Bring at least one soul to Him. Give yourself away today. Let God take you and use you, I pray. Come, follow me to the cross. Lord, I pray You'll help us as individuals, as Your body, to humbly follow You to the cross, to let Your mind be within us, Lord. That same mind, Lord, that let go, didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but humbled Himself. Help us to do the same thing. Help us not to cling onto our old lives. Help us to surrender it. As we consider You, Lord, what You did, You left glory. You let it go, Lord. You didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. You humbled Yourself. You became like us. You became a servant. Help us, Lord, to be humble, to become servants. People who seek to please You with our lives and everything that we do, Lord. People that abide in You, that are doers of Your word, Lord, that love to do the things that please You, Lord. Even as You did, even to the point of death, even the death of the cross, even if it means our crucifixion, Lord. Because we understand, Lord, that it's through that crucifixion that Your life was manifested. It was 3 days later, Lord, that You rose from the dead. And that resurrection life was manifested to all of us, Lord. And granted to all of us who follow in Your steps, Lord. So help us today as individuals, Lord. Help us to embrace our death so that Your life can flow in us and through us. And I thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you guys. I love you and just pray you'll have a blessed day. Again, happy Mother's Day to all you moms, all you children out there. Make sure you thank Mom for all that she does for you. God bless you guys. See you soon.